We're thankful for the prayer that Brother Randall offered and would ask that you would continue to pray for the Lord's people. We might gather together as an assembly for the purpose of hearing God's word and literally for the purpose of it making a difference in our life. You know, in Paul's day, there was no question that the power of God's word was changing the lives of entire societies and peoples. And when God pours out his spirit upon people and upon an age and a time, there's great things that happen, and we certainly need the Lord's blessings in this day and age that we live in. We know that our lives are full and fast and furious. The noise outside is enormous. The distractions are great, and we think about our faithfulness. I think about many of the folks who are getting older in this church, many who have passed on. I just think about how faithful they were to the cause of Jesus Christ all the days of their lives. I'm concerned that with every generation that comes along, that faithfulness is not what it once was. Not what it was when I was a child and my parents took me to church and my grandparents took me to church. And we're all aware of this, I believe. It's not a news flash. It's not a story that's untold. It is a concern, a valid concern. And I just ask that you would be very mindful and prayerful of the situation, the circumstances that we see in our lives today. I want to talk about a couple of things I've mentioned before. I want to talk about meditation and endurance. And I believe meditation and endurance brings about stability in one's life. I believe that everyone's path that I've ever crossed would like to have a stable life. In other words, when the storms of life come, and I want you to know they're coming. They probably have already come, but they're going to continue to come. You know, God gives us illustrations in his word, and we're going to look at some of those a little later. But you know, in nature, we can have some of the most ravaging storms you've ever seen. Tornadoes, hurricanes, violent winds. They pass, and it may be 10 years before we have one in the upper stratosphere, you might say. They're having a typhoon in the Philippines now that said could bring up to 8 feet of rain. It's a massive super typhoon. I mean, you know, they don't happen and occur all the time, but year after year, decade after decade, these storms continue to come. Do you know that's how our lives are? We get beyond a storm, and we think, oh, Lord, what a blessing it is. It's just great that you give me the grace to get beyond that difficulty, that storm, that raging storm within me. But be prepared. There's other storms coming. And that's the way life is. That's the way it's always going to be. The question is, how do we handle the storms that come? They're coming. You know, the trials that you have and the trials that I have may vary in the type that they are, but they have the same effect on each and every one of us. Whether it be death or loss of job or whatever it is, we're affected the same way. Our internal, what's inside is it a struggle. It brings pain and agony, and it can be a great burden in our lives. And I think about endurance. Now, before we get into James, I'm going to look at James chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4, and then I want to look at Psalms chapter 1, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. And if the Lord had blessed this morning to bring those two chapters together and to have some understanding of what it means to meditate, what it means to endure in your life. Endurance is something that is fastly fading from the society we live in, even God's people. You know, me and Sister Suzanne have talked about it, and young people and old people alike, they just don't have the staying power anymore. I don't understand it, but that's just the way it is. They don't have the resiliency. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. We're told in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Notice what faith is there. It's the substance of things hoped for. I believe every child of God Romans chapter 12, we're told by Paul that they're giving the measure of faith. That's intrinsic faith. Faith given to you when you were born of the Spirit of God. Faith that does not increase, nor does it decrease. But the Bible talks to us about gospel faith and outward faith that does grow. It does waver. And we're to add to our faith, as we're told in the first chapter of 2 Peter. Virtue and a number of things, and I'll not go there. But think about faith in the text I just gave you. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. What do you hope for? You know, most of us have had our trials. Some of us are going through trials right now. Whatever they may be, it doesn't really matter. Are you going through trials? Do you have a hope beyond this life and this world? Do you have a hope of a place that we call, or the Bible calls, paradise? Paradise? A place where sin has no more power over you, has no more dominion over you, where you won't have any more sleepless nights, where you won't have troubles with your fellow man, where you won't have problems in your marriage, you won't have disappointments with your children. Can you imagine such a place where sin is no longer, and you and I are going to dwell there for eternity? I want you to think about that for a minute. If that doesn't give you hope in the sight of what we see today, I don't know what will. That is the substance of our hope. And that's defined as faith. Now it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. None of us have seen God with the naked eye. I feel certain about that. Not a one of us have here, but we have evidence in the created world that we observe every day that the God who created you and I and all that we see is alive and well. He sustains us and He keeps us. But you know, we have a greater evidence even than that. Because you have this hope in you, this substance of hope, this faith in you, it tells me that you have a power residing in you that gives you a hope beyond the trials, the tribulations, and the afflictions that will come your way in this life. These storms, just like natural storms out here in nature, they've came and they've passed and they'll come again. In our lives, it's the same way. We don't get beyond the turbulence till there's another storm brewing. It may not come for 4 or 5 years. It may not come for 10 years. But friends, I'm here to tell you, those storms continue to come as long as we have our journey upon this earth. They vary in substance. They differ in that way. But inside each and every one of us, we're affected in the same way. It's a burden. It's a trouble. You know, one person said, it's not about what happens to you in life. It's about how you react to those things that happen. And I believe that's the truth. I believe there's a lot to be said there. Now, keep that in mind when we go to begin in verse 3 of James. It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Has your faith ever been tried? That means literally tested. I believe we're going to find out that our faith is tested every day. Every day that you go out in this world of sin and sorrow, this world of darkness, our faith is put to the test in numerous ways. James said here, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now let's think about patience for a few minutes. If you're like me, you have a hard time with it. If you got a trouble brewing in your life or one that's been extended in your life, I tell you, it's hard to have patience, isn't it? The word patience there literally means, from the Greek word endurance. Are you able to endure? Is your faith strong enough you're able to endure the trial, the affliction, whatever it is that you're confronted with? You know, sometimes we endure for a while and then we fade. James says here, knowing this, he says, you know this, you understand this, your faith is going to be tested. And I think we're going to find out that our faith is tested over and over and over throughout the journey of our life. The question is, do we stay true to the faith? Is God so important to us that we can put away the things of this world? He goes on in verse 4, and let's notice, but let patience. And that word, I literally believe, means endurance here. That's what the Greek word, one of the meanings for it is, to endure or endurance. But let endurance, or patience, as it says here, have her perfect work. The word perfect means complete. Sometimes it's hard to endure, isn't it? When things are going wrong in your life, when things are not as you want, I tell you, we have it in families, we have it at jobs, we have it in societies, we have it in friendships. It's very unfortunate. But so many of God's people have so much trouble enduring in life. Endurance is something that literally means you're going to stand fast in your faith even through the difficult times, even when the going's not smooth. And I'm telling you, I said the storms are coming. They're going to come and they're going to pass, and God's going to give you the grace to go on. But there's another storm coming. It'd be nice if we only had one storm in our life, and once it passed, that'd be the end. But it's not the case. The storms continue to come in some fashion or another. The question is, how do we react to those storms? Notice here it says, but let patience, or endurance, have her perfect or complete work. You know, I've seen people that would endure for a while. Matter of fact, I see this so often in folks that come to the church. I've seen it over the years. When I, in my time, in Brother George's time, people would join the church. They would be zealous. They would be active. But endurance didn't last. They were not able to endure. After time, they begin to fall away slowly and surely. Our faith is going to be tested time and time again. But let patience or endurance have her perfect or complete work, that ye may be perfect. That literally means complete. And entire means complete in every part, wanting nothing. Can you imagine being in such a position in this life that Jesus Christ is all sufficient for you? That He fills every void and every emptiness and every part of your life. You have no fear. You live in peace. This is Jesus Christ. You're all sufficient in Him, wanting nothing. That doesn't mean you don't have anything. You're just content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Complete in every part. Do you think when Paul said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, do you think he was complete in every part? Do you think he was all sufficient in the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul had a rough life if you want to look at the things he went through. He was shipwrecked more than once. He was beaten with stripes numerous times. He went through all kinds of difficulties, but his sufficiency was in Jesus Christ. That's why he said in Philippians 1 and 29, for is given to us on the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on his name, but to suffer for his sake. When our faith is tested, and when we endure, suffering's not near the problem that it is when we're shallow rooted. And we're going to get to that here in a minute. But I want you to keep in mind that becoming perfect or complete, you know, there's no one perfect other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible generally speaks of perfect. A man that is perfect in the Bible is a man who's complete. He's filled with the Word of God. We're told of that in the third chapter of James, in the first verse, I believe it is, in numerous places. But the word entire means he's complete in every part. Jesus Christ is all sufficient for every need that he has. He can live this life and he can be happy with whatever circumstances he's under. He doesn't let the storms of life send him out to sea. You know, you can stand on the ocean and when the high tide comes in, it's going to beat against you. But is it going to wear you out? You know, some people will say, well, I have stability in my life. Just look at me. You may look good on the outside, but there's a lot of folks that the storms of life are raging inside of them day in and day out. They're stressed out. They're burnt out. Life is eating them alive. When they're tested, when their faith is put to the test, they may endure for a while. But the difficulties of life become too much for them to bear. So we want to think about endurance for a moment. We want to think about this patience. And you know, most of us have a hard time being patient, I think. You know, Brother Melvin, as I've stated a few weeks ago, said if the Lord would fix our problems in 15 minutes, we'd all be in, wouldn't we? But if it's going to take 15 years and we're going to have to be faithful to our cause and continue to march down that road, a lot of us, we don't want none of that. We don't have the kind of patience sometimes or endurance that the Bible talks about. So let's keep that in mind. Let patience or endurance have its perfect work, that you may be complete in every part, complete in every part, and all sufficient in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to spend a little time in Psalms chapter 1, and I want to try to tie some of the things together that we've spoken of. We talked about our faith being put to the test numerous times in our life, and I believe in the first chapter of Psalms 1, we're going to find this. We're going to find an illustration in Psalm 1 of a natural thing on the earth that you and I are very familiar with. You know, God is, it's just amazing how he can take something like a tree or a river, and he equates that to you and I, a living human being, a child of God, and he begins to assess our life like this tree. You know, I believe if we want to have a stable life, I believe there's two things we've got to do. We've got to meditate upon God's word, and I believe this psalm teaches that, and it's endurance will lead to stability. In other words, when the storms come, and they're coming, you won't be shaken in every way and blown away. It even deals with that in a minute. The question we got to ask ourselves is, are we like the tree that's presented here in Psalms 1? Let's notice in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, it says there, this man is blessed. He's happy. He's blessed of God. That word counsel means an advice. You know, how often does a child of God take bad advice and go the way of the wicked? I know that I've been guilty of it. Sometimes that advice sounds good. Satan tempts us to believe that that's some really good advice when we know better. Blessed is the man who walks not in the advice of the ungodly. I believe that you and I are surrounded by the ungodly every day. They're somewhere out here in the world, just as I've stated that we're like stars in heaven, surrounded by darkness. That's how the child of God is. It's everywhere you go. You may not come in contact with the ungodly every day, but I tell you, it's pretty frequent, and it may be every day. Our faith is going to be tested. You know, you look at the politicians of the world today, and I'm not in here to preach a political sermon, but I tell you, even those who are faithful often follow the advice of the wicked, those who have no fear of God and no concern for God. I made a statement Wednesday night when we was here that Ben Carson running for president is a man who has faith in God and believes in the Lord, and he made a statement that he believed the earth was somewhere around 6,000 more years old, and the liberal media took that, and they laughed him to scorn. They showed, O'Reilly showed these segments on there, and you think things are not changing in this country? Do you think we don't have real problems and that they'll just go away? They won't. Man shall wax worse and worse, as the Bible tells us. We're among the ungodly every day, whether you know it or not, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. They're out there. They're always giving us advice. Do we follow their advice, or do we follow the advice of God? Our faith will be tested every day that we live in this life. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Well, you might say, we're all sinners. We've all come short of the glory of God, and that's the absolute truth. We are. But there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death, or the ways of destruction, is what that word means in Proverbs 16 and 25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And generally, that's the way of a sinner. That's a way of sin, doing something that he knows he shouldn't do. We walk in the counsel of the, after the advice of the ungodly, or we walk in the ways of sinners. Blessed is the man who does not this. He doesn't do this. You know, we're told that many of God's children in Matthew chapter 7 go through the wide gate and the broad way that leadeth to destruction. That's not the wicked. That's God's children. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. And there are a few that go in there out. The Bible tells us a vast multitude will be in heaven, so we know that that's not what them verses are speaking of. Nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. Those who mock what we do. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. Blessed is the man when his faith is tested, when it's put to the test, and it's going to be put to the test, often endures. He doesn't fade away. He endures. Now let's notice what it says in verse 2. But his delight, that word delight means pleasure. His pleasure is in the law of the Lord or in the word of God. Blessed is the man who finds his pleasure in this life in the word of God. And in his law, or in his word, doth he meditate day and night. In other words, it doesn't mean the man reads the Bible day and night. It means he meditates upon it. Meditate literally means, the word there means to mutter. I believe it means to recite to yourself. Some of the definitions of meditate means to memorize. That God's promises can come to the forefront of our minds and resonate from our soul and heart, that when we're in the presence of the ungodly, when we're in the way of sinners, and we will be, because we live in this world and it's filled with sinners and ungodly and God's people. We live amongst them. We don't live separate from them. When we're in those ways and we meditate upon God's word, his promises come to fruition in our life. They come alive in our heart and soul, and they come to remembrance when we are in the presence of these situations and circumstances, and they help us to endure and to continue on our way. I tell you, it's a tremendous thing. We're here to learn how to become more stable in our lives and not be carried away by every wind of doctrine that blows by everything that comes to us in our lives, the storms that are going to come. They're coming. They've been and they're coming again. You know, we may be in a calm in our life. We may not be having any problem, but don't get too easy. Don't take it too lightly, because there's another storm coming. I've lived long enough to know that the storms have come at different times and they're coming again. How do we handle those storms? He says, but he delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law he doth meditate day and night. This is his pleasure. He brings God's truth into his heart and soul. You know, I didn't think a lot about meditation. I was talking to Elder Steve Baldock about it after he preached on prayer at our Brother Randall's ordination. And we talked about speaking out loud to God and to memorizing those verses and making them a power in our life. You know, Paul said, My gospel came not in word only, but in power. Is God's word having a powerful influence in your life? Is it bringing about the change it should? Is it bringing stability when the storms of life come? When the rages of winds are blowing inside you? Even if you appear good on the outside, the Lord knows your difficulties. He knows your problems. He says he meditates on it day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I mean, here God is going to use the analogy of a tree, something that you and I understand. We've seen it time and time again. For one thing, when a tree is good and rooted, the wind doesn't blow it away. When we are experienced in meditation, and our roots are in God's word, we're not carried about by every wind of doctrine. We're not carried away by every little trouble that comes by. We're not carried away by the troubles that we have personally inside us. It may just be with ourselves. Because our God is sufficient for all our needs. Our Lord can take care of us. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. This tree is planted by rivers. or a stream. And I said this analogy is wonderful. I remember back in 2010 or 11 when we had such a massive drought here. You'd go by some of these draws or some of these rivers, even though the river wasn't flowing. Have you ever noticed how green the trees were that lined the banks of those old dry riverbeds? There's something to be said about the analogy or the example that God gives here. There's a lot to be said about it. He said he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I believe this is an image of a person who can continue on, who can go forward with his life, even in those hard, dry times. Have you ever had any hard, dry times in your life? The Bible says we're going to have them. If you hadn't had them, you're really blessed because they're coming. Every one of us is going to have trials and tribulations. Are we like that tree? I believe the rivers of water are where we're to put our roots. It's an example of you and I. The analogy is a tree. For the child of God, we're given two examples here. We're either like this tree that's well-rooted, or we're going to find out that we're like the chaff. And I know a lot about chaff. If you've ever run a combine, you know a lot about chaff. When you cut wheat, the shaft's all blown out the back, and a little bit of wind carries it anywhere. But a well-rooted tree is stable. The wind can't blow it anywhere. Can't blow it anywhere. Also, a tree that is planted by a river, there was a reason God said this tree was planted by a river and gave this illustration to you and I, that in dry times, in times of little rain, those trees continue to do well. You know, I farm long enough to know that if you water a piece of ground or water stands on it long enough, you can't believe how deep the water can percolate into the soil. And when the droughts come and the hard times come and there is no water, even like the book of Kidron when Elijah was sitting there, it dried up in the great drought. But the trees continue to be green and flourish because those roots are driven deep into that soil profile. I believe that when we meditate, that's how we drive our roots into divine water, into the water of God, into the Word of God. It sustains us in those dry seasons. And friends, we're going to have them. You know, I've had plenty of them, and I look to have more of them, and maybe I'm having one now. I don't know. But I know that by meditating upon God's Word, putting my roots into His divine water, will make a great difference in our lives. I believe that river represents the Word of God. I believe it does. And that tree there that has its roots driven down represents a man who delights in the Word of God. A man who meditates upon God's Word night and day. A man who, when the storms of life begin to rage, and they're going to rage, he's stable. Notice that tree, it says here, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. Now this is what I want folks to understand. This tree brings forth his fruit in his season. It didn't say this fruit brings forth fruit continuously all the time. I want you to know that even for the well-rooted, well-grounded tree, if the drought is long enough and the times are hard enough, that tree is going to have some effects from it. I remember back in 2010, I believe it was. I'm losing track of the years, but when that drought was so bad and it was 110 degrees and we were having dirt storms, you couldn't see the sun in June like I'd never seen before, and it was the heat was just scorching. You know, even a tree that has deep roots could have the leaves scorched. I mean, what I'm getting at is, even in the midst of a great drought or dry period, there were some effects upon that tree. But yet, that tree stayed green. Notice it says, it brings forth his fruit in his season, his leaf also shall not wither. Talking about an evergreen tree. That tree is well rooted. And it brings forth fruit in his season. You're not immune to any of the difficulties or the dry or difficult seasons. Just because we're well-rooted doesn't mean that we'll never have a problem in our life. It just means that the power of God's Word resonating in our soul and our hearts, it'll get us beyond it. You know, we all want the Lord to take away our problems. The Lord didn't promise to take away our problems. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in our weakness." When we're weak, we depend upon the Lord. And His strength comes shining through. It's perfect. His grace is sufficient, even in the driest and the hardest times that we face. I know a bunch of folks that are facing some terribly hard times now just due to age. The afflictions of life, the evil years that have come upon them, as the Bible teaches us. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, there are seasons. Solomon said there's a time and a season to all things. I want you to think about this tree, though, that's well-rooted. It's an example of you and I being well-rooted in divine water, in the Word of God. It's going to give us the staying power and the power to endure, to continue on, to let patience have its perfect work for you, that you might be complete in every part, and that you can say with Paul, "For me to live is Christ, and when I die, it'll be nothing but gain." I tell you, that's not easy. But we're told here how that happens. It starts with meditation. Meditation and endurance lead to stability. Isn't that what we all want, is a stable life, that we're not rocked about by every turmoil that comes along, every wave that blows up on the beach, every storm that blows here in the country? I mean, we have storm after storm in our life. Don't you want to be stable? You know, we could look at the illustration in Matthew chapter 7, and it tells about the foundation that we've built our house on. The man who builds his house on the things of this world, on the sand, the foolishness of this world, that house gonna fall. And great will that fall be. But upon the foundation, the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, we stand even in the great storms when they come. The house still stands. It's like the tree planted by the river, rooted deep. We're rooted deep in God's Word. Bears His fruit in His season. Think about the spring season when the flowers come out. Isn't that a delightful season, a pleasant time in God's Word? What about the maturity and wisdom we get from summer fruits, you might say? But you know, even when you think about all them seasons, how many times have you lived through a harsh winter? It's dry, it's cold, it's hard. Even though your roots may be deep in God's Word and you may be firmly grounded there, sometimes you feel God to be far away from you. I'm just telling you, because our roots are driven deep, we're not immune to those problems. But God says we can endure. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be complete in every part, that you can stand as this tree and not wither. Now let's look at, as time is getting away, at verse 4. The ungodly are not so. We're going to find out that these four verses tell us that you and I can meditate upon God's Word and we can endure, or we can be like the chaff that blowed out of the backside of that combine. Every little wind that comes by is going to take you apart. Going to take you away. You know, what's the difference in those who are rooted like that tree in the chaff? It's those who meditate upon God's Word. Meditating upon God's Word allows us to endure, to continue on, even when the going is not exactly like we want it, when life is not coming to us exactly like we want it. You know, when things in the church are not like they want it, and they're not like I want it, we endure, we continue on. We continue on. When your marriage is not like what you want it, you continue on because of the promises that reside in your heart and soul from God. When your children disappoint you, and they will, or at least some of them will, when they disappoint you, you've got to stay in power to endure and to continue on. Because the faith you have is a hope that one day sin will fade out of your life. When you're delivered to heaven, these troubles will be no more. God didn't say, "I'll remove them from your life," but He said, "I'll give you the grace to get through them." He says, you meditate upon God's Word. I was studying on meditation when I was studying on prayer, and I preached on prayer for a month and a half. I believe that changing our life begins with prayer, but you know, we academically, if you would, study God's Word, and then we go to prayer. But I believe the gap that bridges the two together is meditation. I made a statement when I first mentioned meditation. I thought that was something that pagan religions done, but the Bible has a lot to say about meditating. That's taking God's Word and remembering it, you know, recognizing it in your life, rehearsing it over and over, speaking it out loud. We need to do that because these times are coming. God is faithful unto His Word in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. God has never failed to deliver on a promise that He made. He's faithful to carry us through these storms. Are you well rooted in God's divine water? You know, the great blessings in God's Word that come from meditation are enormous if you look at God's Word. I'll tell you, I'll be honest, I haven't spent a lot of my life meditating on God's Word. It's real easy to read it, simply skim over it. But if you're not careful, you're going to be like that chaff. It's not going to resonate in your heart and soul, and you're going to be blown about by everywhere. You know, another illustration we have, that tree is a living thing. The shaft's not. The tree's a growing thing. For the child of God, we're told to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a growing, it's a process. That grace means divine influence. Is the Lord influencing your life? Have you taken the time to take a scripture and begin to memorize it? Begin to speak it to yourself that it becomes alive in you? It becomes a power in you when that storm approaches. It doesn't shake you in every direction. It doesn't carry you about like the shaft. The difference in being the shaft and being a well-rooted tree is meditation. He said, I delight in the law of the Lord, in the Word of God, and He doth meditate upon it day and night. In other words, He's able to recall God's promises and God's truth in whatever difficulty that arises in his life. Wherever he's at, he's able to bring that truth front and center in his life and make a difference. I ask you today as we close, do you have a stable life? Do you look stable on the outside and the storms of life are raging on the inside? Do you meditate upon God's Word? Do you believe what God said? Do you believe His promises? You know, unbelief's a great problem. We must pray believing. But I believe we must meditate upon God's Word. That's the beginning of having a conversation with God through prayer. He began the conversation, and you and I can continue it. We're told, and I'll get one more verse in Hebrews chapter 12, in chapter 4 and verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Do you think God's Word and God Himself can be an awesome power in your life? I believe God calls upon us to meditate upon His Word, to make it more than just a knowledgeable thing that we've read about or know about, but to make it a real experience, to resonate in our heart and soul, because as I said when I began, the storms are coming. They've came before and they'll come again. And as long as we live upon this earth, we're always going to have an approaching storm. I can't tell you when it's going to get there and when it's going to pass over. I can't tell you how great that storm will be, what degree of difficulty it may bring in your life, whether it'll be a tropical storm or an all-out major typhoon. I don't know, but they're coming. We're going to have those storms. But let patience or endurance have its perfect work. I know that God's children want to be complete in every part. They don't want to be rattled by everything that comes along because they know it's coming. May God bless us to plant our roots in God's divine water and to endure when our faith is tested, because it's tested every day, more often than we want to believe. that we might always honor and glorify his holy and righteous name every day that we live. May God bless you. It's my prayer this morning. I thank you for your attention, and I pray that God's word will make a difference in your life, and that we will be like trees planted by a river, and that we will continue on and endure regardless of what's happening around us.